You're listening to Third Eye Radio. Due to the absence of a host and number of guests, we're having an impromptu discussion on the government and military. As always, listener discretion is advised. This is episode 2.
They're now saying the world is, a large portion of the money of the world is going toward a very small percentage of the population of the world, so it's almost as if that small population can run and control the world based on being that population. So it's
99%.
99 to the 1, right. So 99% of the actual money in this world goes to only 1% of the population. That's absolutely absurd, at least in the United States government. So I feel like I should just let into the show.
Let's just keep going. So what did Fox News have to say about Occupy Wall Street? Do you know? Did you pay attention at all?
They say a lot of things, none of them very flattering. Usually they go the hippie route. They're all just a bunch of lazy hippies, don't shower, don't want to work. They're all looking for handouts.
Oh, that's accurate.
You know what I love about that, though? Didn't they have a whole Tea Party thing going on? It was pretty much the same thing, except with a different name.
Especially back in the day.
See, that's something they never like to acknowledge. The Tea Party started as a opposition to bank bailouts and bailing out corporations and the government getting into, you know, big business. And then big business sort of hijacked the Tea Party, and now they're really just, you know, the far-right conservatives anymore instead of what they started out to be. And now here we have Occupy Wall Street protesting basically the same things the Tea Party started out protesting, and they're at opposite ends of the spectrum. You know, Tea Party hate Occupy Wall Street.
But they sound exactly like... I wouldn't say exactly, but they sound very, very similar.
They agree in the don't bail out banks, you know. They screw up. They bet money they don't have in derivatives trading. And derivatives trading is something that altogether needs to be wiped out. Basically, they're betting and speculating on markets, and they could bet 30 to 1. You know, they could bet to where they're betting 30 times more money than they have. And, you know, it's just a formula for disaster. Eventually, they're going to lose, and that's when they need bailed out.
Housing market, prime example.
Housing market, yeah. And, so both parties, you know, Occupy and the Tea Party, both opposed that. But then they start differing after that. Tea Party is very much pro-business, pro-corporations, low taxes, things like that. Occupy says, you know, tax the rich higher proportion, get money out of politics, give some of that, you know, money that we should be getting from the rich, give it to the poor, stop foreclosures and things like that, or at least the illegal foreclosures. So there is some common ground, although they start to differ quite a bit after that in their ideological views. The Occupy movement says not to affiliate with a group, but it's very obvious they would definitely lean more to the true democratic or liberal ideologies, whereas Tea Party on the other end of the spectrum, more conservative.
All right, because when you got Johnny Depp making $50 million a movie, you know, some people are kind of, you know, like that's a little too much.
There was actually a report that just came out in New York City alone. It's not quite as bad in the rest of the country, but in New York City, the top 1%, or it might even be the 0.1%, actually makes as much as the bottom 80% of the people in that city.
Oh, man.
Oh, wow.
And in the rest of the country, it's not much better. You have the 1% making about as much as the bottom... there's so many statistics I hear. I want to say 1% makes as much as the bottom 50% in this country. So you have a few thousand people making as much as somewhere around 150 million people.
Right.
Balancing this. How do you think we could possibly balance the wealth between divisions in the country without becoming a socialist society, because it seems like that's what so many Republicans are so scared of. So scared of the word socialism and communism and all that stuff.
They're scared of the word socialism, but they don't understand what it means. They think it's like one end of the spectrum that is completely opposite of capitalism. What they seem to forget is that we already have, to an extent, a socialistic society. There's the funny instance of the Tea Party protester basically having the sign that says, "Keep your government hands off my Medicare."
Right.
The government is Medicare. Medicare, Social Security, Medicaid, the police department, fire department, education, the military, those are all socialistic ideas of government taking the money from the people and using it for the, you know, to spread around for the greater good, to fund areas that we need. And they take socialism as a dirty word, but without really understanding what it is and forgetting that we already have it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't begrudge any rich person their money. I don't think anybody should, you know, be made to, you know, to say they're not allowed to be rich. But there is a insane wealth gap in this country. Since 1980, since Reagan and the start of the trickle-down economic, supply-side economics, it has been getting worse and worse. They're the top 1%, the income since 1980 has gone up about 265%.
Jesus.
Whereas, you know, middle class, poor, we just are staying stagnant, if not decreasing in our wages.
Being said, I don't see where socialism itself is really a bad thing. Like, we could take what Europe's doing with their socialism, probably just do just fine. It's the people who need to get behind it that won't.
That's a good point. I mean, does the government have its own agenda when it comes to... You have to have criteria in order to just get into this country. You know, you have to say you're not a polygamist. You have to be a person of good moral characters, et cetera, et cetera. But I feel like that would be something that's open to debate and things of that nature. So would you think that somebody would have, or, you know, the U.S. government in particular, would have a bias, you know, that they're trying to achieve when it comes to that? Or?
I will definitely say the right in this country, especially the far right, seems to have not only a bias against, but almost a hatred of Europe. You even mentioned trying to take some of the ideas of, you know, Europe and integrate it into our society, and they just go crazy. You know, they talk about American exceptionalism as America's going down the toilet. There are ways to better it without going full on, you know, socialism. What a lot of people don't remember is, even under Nixon, who is a very right-wing president, tax rates for the top bracket, you know, $1 million and over, used to be as high as 70% under Nixon, under people like
decent.
Under Eisenhower, it was, and other presidents, it was upwards of like 90% for any dollar made over $1 million. And those are the years that the Republicans always say those are the golden years, the, you know, 50s, 60s, 70s, and yet they refuse to acknowledge that a big part of why they were so prosperous for the country is because we were
taxing
the rich and getting money that we could.
Proportionately.
You know, now, even to me, that, you know, 70% or higher, that seems quite extensive. But, I mean, they're at about 25%. Well, actually, no, they're at 35% right now, technically, but it never works out that way. They always end up finding loopholes, things like that. They pay around... I think the average for the millionaire was actually ended up being somewhere close to like 17% of their taxes. And, you know, there's no reason you can't raise it up to about Clinton-era tax rates, get rid of loopholes, have them pay 40% over every dollar above $1 million, raise the cap on Social Security tax, because right now we only pay the payroll tax, which is for Social Security, up to $106,000. Anything you make above that, you don't pay into Social Security. And they complain about Social Security going bankrupt. Well, the CBO, Congressional Budget Office, nonpartisan, they calculate that if you raise that to about $250,000 to $300,000 as the cap instead, Social Security would probably be solvent forever.
Oh, wow.
And there's simple fixes, and they just don't want to do it. And it all comes down to the 1% owning the government. And I think that's the big picture. Money out of politics.
So what does Duraya think? She's just sitting awkwardly in the corner, just like, I'm going to keep cleaning my electronic devices.
I don't really have
a
defense. Sorry.
Oh, that's no big. I mean,
with the stuff that's been presented, could you form any opinions, or...
Oh, wow, we just, like, killed
them. We just alienated you. I'm sorry. We completely alienated you.
This is...
Well, that's a good thing.
Right.
That's good. What?
Capitalism.
Yes.
As far as fixing the predicament we're in, I feel like there is some pretty key things I need to change in order for there to be any change at all, I guess. For one, constitutional reconstruction. For starters, the Constitution was made, 300 plus years ago, you know, by ingenious men of the time, but men of that stature now, I mean, could be, you know, your typical college graduate, you know. I mean, don't get me wrong, these men are extraordinary. Benjamin Franklin, I think, could, you know, barely any men of any caliber can match that guy, but, you know, just truth being told, using amendments to fix the problem is good up to a point, but I do feel like it should be just thrown out and completely reconstructed. That way we can get rid of the Bernie Madoffs and things like that, kind of incorporate things into the Constitution that are modern problems and modern ideals, that corporations are finding ways to, you know, find loopholes to get out of certain things of that nature. Outside of that, I feel for capitalism itself, it gives way to imperialism unintentionally, but nevertheless it does. So my idea to maybe fix that, I think, would be to separate the two. There could be people in this country that are completely content with living on the land or living off the land without necessarily chipping into the, I don't know, the American ideals in regards to, you know, you have to have a house, you have to be using power from the power plant, you have to buy a car, you have to be buying gasoline, et cetera, et cetera. There are some people who are willing to just live off land for themselves, you know, make their own house, et cetera, et cetera. I feel like these people should have a place to go. If you could then start to separate the two and have a place for people who really want to use the sweat of their own brow to make a way for themselves, and you also give a place for people to, you know, use green paper and, you know, use capitalism to its fullest extent, I think that would help kind of balance it out a little bit. I don't know if that, you know, if anybody else feels similar or
the
not.
The Constitution is supposed to be able to change with the times. Well, it's kind of like a car. You can keep fixing a car. You can keep adding to a car. Eventually, you have to get a new car because
right.
It's going to become more trouble than it's worth.
Right.
Well, the Constitution, they left it relatively vague on purpose, you know, for it to be able to change with the times. I don't see there being a particular problem with the Constitution the way it is. They did leave it vague, trying to keep the important things in there, our rights, make sure those are never infringed, and then give us the ability to amend it, to change it with the times. So I don't think there needs to be any overhaul of the Constitution. There just needs to be amendments to change with the times. The big one in our generation would, without a doubt, as I mentioned earlier, be getting money out of politics. There's no doubt in anyone's mind, right or left, for the most part, that the government doesn't work for the people, they work for their donors. They work for corporations. Whoever gives them the money get reelected. You get money out of politics, make elections publicly funded, and have an amendment that says corporations are not people, money is not speech, and you'll see problems within the next decade or two start to really wind down as legislators are, again, working for the people because they don't have the big business to back them up and, you know, buy their seat pretty much.
And that would be the main thing that I have to stop, really. I mean, as far as legislation goes, I just don't think they're working for the people anymore. You know, like I just
No, they're not, and they're pretty blatant about it. The right, you know, I keep going to the right. I hate to pick on, you know, just Republicans, but they, when it comes to...
Oh, left is no better, really. I mean,
left is bought, too. Mm-hmm. Left is definitely bought, too, but when it comes to being owned by big business, it's pretty much the right, which is 100%, versus the left, which is about 75%
bought. Right, right, right.
And the right is very much more blatant about it.
They still give the illusion of caring.
They try. They try. They're not
put
usually
on a face.
Too right, you know. That's how you know somebody cares. They still put on a face.
But, I mean, they talk about cutting government spending, big government, stay out of business, and the most profitable country, or most profitable countries, most profitable businesses in the world are big oil business. And in this country, we give $40 billion a year to big oil to subsidize them, to incentivize them to drill as if they need any more incentive to drill. They will drill wherever they can.
Drill? Like, wow, I'm so against that on so many levels. I'm going to buy a mental engineer, for God's sakes. Like, no. Like, you're giving them money to drill?
It's supposed to be an incentive to drill, to try and keep down costs and to keep going, but it's really pointless. You know, when they were first starting out, when we were really kind of kicking in to the industrial era, it was somewhat needed. But now they're the most profitable businesses in the world by far. They don't need that money. And even in, you know, our economic crisis, our debt crisis, there are people that are saying, no, keep giving them their $40 billion a year. It might be $40 billion over a decade. I think it's like $4 billion a year, excuse me. But still, they refuse to take that money back because they get lobbied and they get a lot of money from those oil companies to make sure they keep giving those oil subsidies. So as they're talking about cutting spending, instead of cutting welfare to the richest banks, oil companies, and corporations in the country and having them pay their fair share, they're constantly cutting welfare and support to the middle and lower classes. And that all comes down to money and politics. If you don't have the money to buy them their office, they're not going to work for you.
America is for the rich.
Is it pointless to even try? Like, jeez, I mean, I feel like you couldn't fight a system like that. Like, I mean,
It's definitely an uphill battle. It's not pointless to try. There actually is a movement right now, and the Occupy movement completely supports it, to get a constitutional amendment saying those very things, that corporations are not people, money is not speech, and you cannot have unlimited political donations. There are several cities, I believe Los Angeles was one. There was a city in Colorado, I want to say Boulder, but I don't quote me on that. That was the first city to call for a constitutional amendment. And there's actually a way to get around the government, because you'd have to have a vast majority in the Senate and in the House to ratify an amendment to the Constitution, but to avoid that, you can actually circumnavigate the Congress, and if you can get 2/3 of the states to ratify it, which is what people are pushing for, then we can get the constitutional amendment, and we're slowly on our way to that. There are many cities across the country that are approving that, you know, on a local level to push for that amendment. Recently, Barney Frank introduced one into Congress, which is undoubtedly going to be shot down, but it opens up the discussion to, you know, should that be something we, you know, need in the future. It's an uphill battle, but if we keep working on it and keep getting the message out there that government is not working for the people, eventually I think it can get done.
Says new light will occupy Wall Street. I know that much.
When
like, support.
Yeah. Just when did the government stop working for the people? It just seems like very behind the scenes.
Was it ever?
It's
kind of like the eras of kings and queens. Like,
there was sort of a downhill trend with that. There were in the 70s, at the end of the Nixon, towards the end of the Nixon presidency, I forget what his name is. He's still alive today and still pushing for the same things. But there was a man who basically said, I think he was a banker, you know, some sort of big businessman who basically said, if we want, you know, to get our way in this country, first, you know, we can't go directly to, like, the presidency, the executive branch, or Congress. We need to buy the Supreme Court. So they bought the Supreme Court, and it's sort of been a downhill snowballing effect since then. In 2010, we had the Citizens United ruling, which the Supreme Court, which is right wing, 5-4 right now, voted that corporations are people. And that kind of snowballed the effect even further, giving corporations unlimited spending to political campaigns.
How are corporations people? It doesn't make any sense. They're owned by people, but they aren't a people.
And that's the argument. But you have bought Supreme Courts, you have bought Congress, and legislation like that can get pushed through because of the money. And you know, that's, we had that original attack to the Supreme Court in the 70s, and then in the 80s. That snowballed into supply-side economics, where they said, give more money to the rich, let them keep all their money, and they'll create more jobs. We've had 30 years of that, and it hasn't worked. The best job creation we've had in this country since supply-side economics has taken effect is under Clinton, where under the Clinton administration, taxes for the top bracket went up to about 39.5%, and we had 23 million jobs created during Clinton's presidency. And then we went to Bush, and he deregulated everything again, cut the taxes, and it just led to the housing bubble, the bank crash, and our economic crisis that we're in today.
You know, the people love Clinton. Minus all the stuff in office, people love Clinton.
Okay, you know, for all he did, why wasn't he allowed to get a blowjob? Why was he not allowed to just get his rocks off like everyone else? Why?
I mean, we all know. This is like the Kobe Bryant situation.
Didn't he earn a get-out-of-jail-free card?
Right. This is like the Kobe Bryant situation. I mean, when you're put in positions of power, it just happens. Let it go, people. He did his thing in office. Let it go. Your responses, thirdeyeradio@gmail.com. As far as capitalism goes, it kind of yields to imperialism a little bit. I guess we can kind of cover that real fast before we segue topics here, because I think we've talked about most of it. You know, is there a way to combat imperialism? Capitalism inadvertently yields to this. I mean, is there any way we can stop this?
I think if we get the amendment that says corporations are not people, that will sort of be a snowballing effect, because right now, probably the strongest lobbyists come from the military-industrial complex, defense contractors, private military organizations like Blackwater. Right. They have an incredibly strong lobby. And if they want war because it makes them rich, they're probably going to get war. So if you get that amendment that says they can't donate, they can't buy our politicians, you'll start seeing the imperialism die down as a result.
People fail to understand that war can pay. Like, it is not just a costing matter. It pays
historically,
sometimes.
Historically, like, World War One, didn't it pull us out of the Great Depression? You know? Didn't World War Two do something similar? War makes money.
It does. I mean, but these contracts.
Back in those days, there weren't the major corporations that there are today for defense. The war then helped get us out of economic hard times, because so many people were off fighting, and then everyone here had to work to make the guns and make all the weapons, and you know, they needed those factory jobs. Today, it's kind of put off to a couple major corporations, and wartime isn't going to affect the country as a whole as it did back then.
Right.
Seems like everybody got complacent with a lazy lifestyle between the wars. If we did it like we did then, if we had everybody work to put money back into the country, money back into regular stuff, we could pull it out.
Right. It is kind of like America shifted a little bit in its point of view. Like, you know, back in, you know, 1950 cookie cutter era, you know, like the white picket fence, you know, like savings accounts for everyone, you know. America has changed a little bit. You know, that kind of facade has fallen away a bit, which is probably what has yielded to this huge increase in the amount that the a few percent, the amount that they're making, is probably what's causing this, probably. Mm-hmm. When you try to remove capitalism from the equation, is there any other system that, or any other form of government that you think America could run under? I think most of them would run under capitalism. Please take that back. But are there any other forms that America could go with that, you know, Republicans obviously would find scary. I mean, they find everything scary, but, I mean, do you think America could really work under communism or, you know, some other form? Like, is it
I don't believe we would work under communism. Most countries that do communism don't really work under communism. Russia, the Soviet Union disbanded. They lost power. They're in shambles right now because of communism. China's doing all right, but that's because they have so many people, and their labor is so cheap, they're able to get all the jobs sent over there.
Would you say that's something to do with leadership, by the way? I mean,
That's not necessarily leadership. Their government does do a lot of manipulating for their money. The government in China actually purposely keeps China's currency, I don't know what it's called, they actually purposely keep it devalued. Because the cheaper their currency is worldwide, the cheaper their labor is, and the more corporations are going to send jobs over there. So they sort of have an unfair advantage in that sense.
We have too many uppity people in this country to do communism. People would be getting shot left and right.
I don't think communism would be a good idea anyway. There's nothing inherently wrong with capitalism. It's when you let capitalism run free. It's completely untethered capitalism that is the problem that's led to what we have today, with a very rich few that run everything and run the government. What you need is capitalism with regulation and leashes.
The Republicans are fighting tooth and nail.
And a lot of that comes from the donations. Again, I think the very top issue of our day is get money out of politics. The Republicans weren't always like that. It was a downhill battle for them once the Supreme Court decision in the 70s opened up corporate donations into politics, and then supply-side economics gave more money to the rich. That pretty much just opened the floodgates, and now the Republican Party has been bought, and they don't want to give that up. But they have not always been like that. Some of the great Republican leaders, Eisenhower back in the 50s, he warned of things like this. He warned of the military-industrial complex.
He did. I remember the videos. I've seen that. Yeah, I've seen that.
Teddy Roosevelt warned about corporations being able to spend money to government and corporations gaining power. He talked very positively about labor and unions, and that's something that no Republican today would do. They all hate labor and unions because they've been completely bought by big money.
Did doing so good without a leader.
Well, no, I'm just being this topic. So right. I know you can cut this out. So.
Right. So, more on the military, yes. Do we use propaganda today, do you think?
Oh, we definitely use propaganda. I have nothing against the military, the people that serve, but there's definitely propaganda in this country. There's a feeling of military personnel and soldiers being held up on a pedestal so great that, you know, they're like gods among men.
I've had such a hard time understanding that. I'm so glad you said that. I've had a hard time. So, we need to understand that a soldier, which is essentially a killer, a trained killer, should be held on a pedestal? Like, I mean, shouldn't this be like, so, you know, like, we don't want to use, this is our worst-case scenario, like, we're celebrating this.
We do that, and then except when somebody uses generally the same weapons, just civilian versions of them, and goes and does the same thing to people here, just hit them over the head with a brick, they're done.
Now, I will say, military personnel are definitely brave people. They do something...
I mean, just for a second,
they do something that I could never do. Even if I was in good enough shape to do it, I still couldn't. But there needs to be this sort of, you know, reformation of how we think of it, because, in all honesty, they haven't, and this isn't their fault, this is what the government does with the military, they haven't been fighting for our freedom since World War II. They've been fighting for, most recently, special interests, and Korea and Vietnam. It was the scare of communism spreading, even though those countries didn't really pose any threat to us. We just hated the idea
of... Scared of the government.
just scared of the color red. The closest thing we had to a war that was to protect us was when we went into Afghanistan after 9/11. But that has been so totally bungled since then, not to mention Osama bin Laden is dead, let's get the hell out of there, that I can't even justify that anymore.
That's another thing. We're now taking troops out of there. Bush said he was going to take troops out. Now Obama's taking troops out. And everybody's getting pissed. Like, didn't you just say we were going to do that? I don't care. What's going on?
I don't know too many people that are actually getting pissed about it. Probably Fox News, I'm sure they will. But anything that happens under the Obama administration is going to be bad in the eyes of Fox News. It doesn't matter if everything in the country goes great. We have a 0% unemployment rate. He's going to be the Antichrist somehow. To be fair, Obama didn't actually pull the troops out of Iraq. He was fighting to keep them there, which goes back to the military-industrial complex. It was Iraq who came out and they had a vote in their newly formed democracy. They basically came out and said, "Yeah, we don't want you here anymore." They kicked us out.
We're going to run.
So
you can leave now.
I have my ups and downs with Obama, but that's one thing you can't really give him credit for. He was forced out of Iraq.
Right. Okay.
Afghanistan, he's actually ramped up since the Bush administration. He sent more troops there, and I think that was a big mistake. We need to get out of there. And just to go back to the idea of, like, idolizing the military, one thing I always kind of thought, and this is probably controversial to most people, I don't know about you guys, but most people, I don't think of them, if somebody signs up for the military and they go overseas, they're not automatically a hero. You have to do something heroic to be a hero. To most people that sign up to the military, it is a job. They are being paid to be there. They do it for the money. They do it for the free schooling. I don't begrudge them that. They're still brave, but they are not a hero. In fact, there's a lot of them that do very unheroic things.
Right.
There's
right.
a video on YouTube of a couple of them grabbing a puppy in Iraq and throwing it off a cliff for no reason whatsoever.
Puppy?
Yes, a puppy. And then you have Abu...
Hey, puppy got their hands off. Yeah.
You hear that? The U.S. hates puppies.
Doing
that one.
I just think there needs to be a toning down in how we idolize them. Idolize the ones that really go above and beyond, that, save their brethren, that don't go out of their way to kill civilians, that do truly heroic things, because really to be a hero, you have to go against the group mentality. It's easy to go with the group and, to kill civilians, do this, do that. It's difficult for the soldier in Abu Ghraib, when they were torturing and, not necessarily torturing, but, disrespecting and doing all those horrible things to the prisoners there. It's easy to go with the flow. It's heroic to say, hey, okay, this is wrong. This needs to stop.
Yeah.
Right. And like I said, to most of those guys, it's really just a job. It's a way to get money. It's the same for a coal miner in America. Why aren't they heroes? They're going out there and risking their lives to do a job for something that we need, because, without coal, we don't have power. So why aren't they heroes? That's sort of how I feel about that.
Definitely got a point there.
I agree.
Right. Okay. Dwayne agrees.
What happens when they're veterans? Will they, get any kind of work or any kind of, assets or anything?
Seems like we're having trouble with our veterans. They do all this work and then we don't cut them the checks. Like, what is that about?
Outside asking for money. I was a veteran, really?
Yeah, there was actually a report that came out recently that said 1/3 of all homeless in the country are vets.
Wow. I mean, psychologically, it's got to be mind-blowing,
Mm-hmm. Well, they suspect a lot of that comes from suffering a post-traumatic stress disorder.
Right, right. I mean, that's got to be mind-blowing.
Well, you're done shooting people for us.
Just go back.
Just go.
It's okay.
Just go. Just bye.
Go back to chilling.
Don't let the door hit you on the ass on the way out.
Right, right. How can you go back? Like, that's crazy. That's crazy.
Yeah, there is supposed to be a program that says if you go off to war, you have to, you're sent overseas, and if you leave your job legally, that place of business is obligated to hire you back once you come back. But it's still so difficult for soldiers who are over there for a long period of time especially in an active war zone, to assimilate back into that, especially if, you know, they're susceptible to trauma and post-traumatic stress disorder. It's not going to be easy.
Right. Post-traumatic stressful disorder is not taken seriously enough. I've seen so many cases where people coming back.
Where you have people just have flashbacks and, like, whatever the squirrel's name was in Happy Tree Friends, the one that was in the war, like every episode he was in, he would have a flashback and kill everybody.
Oh, dude.
Yeah, it's like definitely something that's not taken seriously in this country. A lot of people even joke about it, how, you know, how is that a real illness? But it is. It's something that, you know, devastates the veterans.
Or, you know, like, phantom limb. Like, they get a limb cut off or whatever, they'll still feel it, and it'll just break.
Well, that's not just veterans. That's anybody who gets an amputation.
Well, I was going to say, hey, really?
Yes. I just want it to be them.
I can cut your arm off if you'd like. I
mean, yeah. Well, the fact that we're in... Why are we in Afghanistan? Is it like... you know, it seems like it might just be population control, maybe, a little bit?
I don't believe it's population control. We had a reason to go there in the first place, and now it's kind of been bungled completely. We got Osama bin Laden. We should just get out of there. They don't want us there anymore. We have a completely abstract mission objective that can never truly be achieved. They want to get Al-Qaeda out of Afghanistan and the Taliban out of Afghanistan. And intelligence says there's probably fewer than 50 of them even in Afghanistan right now.
Wow.
But once you leave Afghanistan, they're probably just going to go back. I mean, unless you want a permanent occupation, there's nothing really that you can do. I think it comes back to the money. There are just a lot of powerful people that don't want to end the war.
So, money off of the war.
Do they even really know why we're there in the first place, other than Osama bin Laden? Because, like, what are we here for again? I don't know, just keep shooting.
It was the abstract war on terror. They wanted to go there and eliminate Al-Qaeda, but, you know, that's such an abstract mission objective. Yeah. It really can't be done in conventional warfare.
War on terror is funny, too. Like, why are we just targeting Al-Qaeda and the Taliban? There are plenty of other terrorist organizations. There are plenty of other ones. Why are we just targeting them?
They're the one that generally targets us, but, yeah.
There's terrorists everywhere. There's terrorists in America. They're just not defined as terrorists. They're just defined as mentally ill.
Something, right.
One of the ones, there was one in America that...
A supremacist group was behind the Oklahoma bombing.
Really? Mm-hmm.
Right. So I mean,
Tim McVeigh. Yeah.
Right. So I mean, bam! Right off the bat,
there was actually reports done through the CIA that said it's 60 times more likely for a terrorist attack in America to be done by right wing extremism or religious extremism. I should clarify, like Christian extremism. to be done, you know, as acts of terrorism, then there is, you know, like I said, 60 times more of a chance of that happening than there is of us being attacked by Muslim extremists.
Right.
And yet the CIA has countless groups dedicated to, you know, Muslim extremists, and they pretty much got rid of all their intelligence on the right-wing extremists in this country.
And if we probably would have been minding our business in the first place, they probably wouldn't be extremists in the first place, hating us and all this other stuff.
Yeah, that's definitely another thing. You end the imperialistic, thought in this country that we need to be stationed everywhere, and it wouldn't have happened.
We weren't even supposed to be involved in shit. Which early president was it that was like, we're just going to mind our own business? And then it was like World War II came around, or World War I, and somebody was just—it was like the breaking point.
Well, we had a very isolationist view, basically up until after World War II. You know, we just minded our own business if we were attacked, and, you know, of course we retaliated. It was after World War II that the industrial military complex kind of kicked in the gear. But, I mean, it was, I don't want to say difficult, but it was, it really took some effort to convince the country that they should go to war even after Pearl Harbor.
Right.
Because of the view back then of, you know, we need to stay out of everything. Do you imagine anything remotely like Pearl Harbor happening today and half the country would be screaming to use nukes? Yeah.
We just recently disarmed one of our largest nukes, yes? It was like 9 megatons or something like that, and now our biggest one is like 1.8 or something.
I heard somebody hiding them in tunnels, though.
China.
Somebody. I think it was China, yeah.
China's just hiding them underground. We're over in Afghanistan. We're over in, you know, Iran. Like, you guys have nukes. And they're like, no, we don't. Yes, you do. We're, boom.
Hiding in caves.
And meanwhile, in China, there's nukes there, underground, in tunnels. And nobody cares.
Oh, yeah, there's definite hypocrisy there. It kind of comes down to, you know, I don't know if it's true or not, but if a country has the resources, if it has oil, they're more likely to be attacked. We went into Iraq with the false pretense of them having weapons of mass destruction, but look at North Korea. They actually have them. They say they have them, and they're willing to use them if they get pissed off because their leader is crazy. And we won't go and do anything about North Korea because we're not going to get anything out of it. They don't have shit. They don't have oil. They don't have resources. Unless we want a few decades worth of rice, we're not really going to make it.
Call it a coincidence.
Kim Jong-il looks like a lesbian. Let's just throw that out there. Kim Jong-il looks like a lesbian.
Call it a coincidence.
He looks like a lesbian.
He thinks he's Elvish.
Right. I can see the Elvish, especially.
A little fat, a little effeminate.
It kind of reminds me of a joke that Lewis Black talked about how all the videos that come out of North Korea are in black and white. That's not because of their film. That country is just so evil that everything is black and white. You go there and it looks like that.
Right. Laid out there. So.
Oh, but Kim Jong-il looks so happy, except in that picture. It's just like, I'm just here because I have to.
Thank you for listening to Third Eye Radio. Send your comments, questions, and topic ideas to thirdeyeradio@gmail.com, 3rdiradio@gmail.com, or one of our social sites, Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, and Google Plus. You can also find us at thirdeyeradio.podomatic.com. And finally, please rate and subscribe to us on iTunes.
I think we're good. Yeah, we're good.
We should?
I turned the mic up.
Are we speaking too quietly?
No, I don't think so.
Because it looks like
the mic wasn't, like, on.
Well, here's my notes. We can do this one kind of unconventional now. So it's only five people, so.
We can do whatever we want.
Do you want to rehatch it, though?
No, we don't have everybody. He can't tear anybody down. He was disappointed. Were you not? You were disappointed.
Doesn't matter.
Oh, man.
I just had some points on evolution because of that Big Mac analogy.
I never got around to finding out who said that.
The Big Mac?
Did you use the Big Mac analogy?
No.
Okay.
There's a guy.
It was Jordan.
I would have guessed Pierre, because I don't like him.
Oh.
Okay, just nobody touch the microphone.
Yeah,
mixed opinions.
anybody in the group?
Try not to hit the table. Yeah, because it picks it up still.
Ready to go?
Almost. I'm pulling up my notes. I only have the women's notes down. We did a bunch in the C store. Or not the C store. The DX. Yeah.
I'm glad. Because I actually don't have them.
Did you grab them? I remember them, but...
No, I didn't grab them. It would have been like stealing or something.
The paper?
No, the whole notebook. We just keep it, you know?
I wouldn't notice. No, I'm sorry. Amy wouldn't notice, and then I would get called to her office.
Do that, just grab. Because she's a lesbian, just sexually frustrated.
Do you want to do the filler stuff? Balance cell phone driving and stuff?
I don't know. Do you? Should we? Do you have anything?
Yeah, I don't see why not. Just kind of open
it. About them banning cell phones while driving completely?
Not really.
Because you don't use your cell phone, do you?
Well... Is there any other news we can find?
Maybe.
Might
we should always go to Cracked.
Right.
Christopher Hitchens dying.
What?
Christopher Hitchens died.
Did he? Oh my God, what is this? Oh, my Jesus Christ. Entrepreneur's Revenge on Facebook.
The movie?
No, not the movie. The actual thing. Facebook founder Mark Zuckerberg, meet your Israeli doppelganger Mark Zuckerberg. Israeli entrepreneur Rodem Guez says he legally changed his name to that of Facebook CEO, a gimmick meant to persuade the social networking site to back down from what he says are threats to make legal action against him, or take legal action against him. He's telling Facebook, if you want to sue me, you're going to have to sue Mark Zuckerberg. It's kind of a 50-50 thing.
So will it actually translate to the Facebook owner, or is it like, I don't know.
No idea.
Right. I mean, how is that a problem?
I love it, personally, because I hate Facebook.
Well, right. I mean, I don't mind. Okay. I don't know. I don't see how it hurts the Facebook owner, Mark. Screw that.
Israeli acknowledged on Saturday his company violates Facebook's terms of use, but says many U.S. companies offer similar services. What services are those? Do you know? You go on Facebook. You don't like it, but... Or do you like it?
I don't know. What services?
I don't even know.
It's a very blank statement.
It is.
See. Is the mic on?
Yeah, the mic on.
I see.
Like, we haven't started, but, you know.
Oh, okay, I was just checking.
Yeah, whatever.
You know, you're asking a lot of questions, so I'm like, wait, is he leaving the cigarette? Oh, okay. I would start talking more, I guess. We can do children, women, and men.
Yeah.
If you don't want to react, that's fine. I guess we already discussed that.
I just think we don't have everybody who made points to rehash.
Right. I mean, it's
kind of unfair.
Because, I mean, unless Dre will be all the opposition. I don't know. If you'll be all the opposition for the rehash of the love and theology talk.
We can't ask anybody to play devil's advocate because...
Right. I mean, that's too much.
It's not their opinion, technically, basically.
With that being said, take it away. Because that was what I was going to lead up to. So if you want me to do fillers, I can.
Do we even want to do women, men, and children? Just because we don't have...
Ah, oh, that's tough.
It's kind of one-sided.
That's all that notes for.
I haven't
prepared any
notes, but that's what I'm prepared for.
Right.
Yeah, like, it'd have to be something completely new, and I don't have that notebook from everything that we wrote down.
I have Google Docs. We don't have everything. Down. We have
right.
Other stuff.
But that, okay. there is a document.
Kobe Bryant's wife
fell for the I heard that. Well, that was kind of crazy. Apparently he's a womanizer.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's such a shocker.
That's not going to pick up random.
It probably will, but whatever. It'll be like background music or ambient background, whatever. Third Eye Radio topic. What do we got? What do we got?
So those other people just not able to come today at all?
I guess not.
I'm waiting on Aisha to hit me back.
Holidays. We can do holidays.
Holidays.
Yeah.
It would have been nice if I did my research for holidays, because I could have really got some dates and times. Like,
right.
The Romans did this at this time. Greeks did this at this time.
I mean, we have enough opinions on entertainment.
Entertainment might work. I mean, we could kind of freestyle that one.
Yeah.
What else is on entertainment?
Forms of government.
Music, television. That might actually do, considering. It doesn't... Everybody is going to have a different point of view on that, I think.
On forms of government?
Right, because it deals with capitalism, imperialism, and all that stuff. Well, I don't know. Socialism. Everybody's pretty much going to have the same view on imperialism.
Why, that's bad for one world government? Or...
to get rid of imperialism, everybody's going to deal with, how long would that one world government question last? Maybe we could drive it out far.
Capitalism. I think we'll all say that it's relatively bad. It buys good things.
Yeah. He could get into it. Isn't that right?
So is that a good topic? You want to fuse that with something like entertainment or something? Maybe do the filler, lead to entertainment, fuse it with...
More religion. No way to do religion.
Well, that's what
religion said ties with everything.
At the beginning. If you want to do that now, we can. But
no,
we don't
can't
have much
read
opposition.
It, yeah, we don't.
We have like no opposition. Did you know my family?
The Virgin Mary, no. And the fact that she's birthing a bird because of Crivelli's picture.
Crivelli. You know what I was going to say the same thing.
Hole in the sky. Shoots a laser beam. Into a bird, through a bird, into Mary's forehead. She's birthing a bird. It's a religion run by bird people. We run into the military. Government and military.
Use those two. They gotta go hand in hand.
You get enough facts for that, don't you? So we don't look like...
I have some facts. I keep up with it. I'm not an expert.
We don't need experts. We need weird people.
I see that's that one too, right there. Everybody's going to say something relatively different about these two.
What were you going to say?
Capitalism / government, imperialism, all that good stuff for that.
For government.
Fuse with. Military issues.
Right.
Questions, concerns.
I don't know much on that either.
We could get pretty, general. Like, how do you feel about how we use our military? Things like that.
Yeah.
Can it be improved on? Is it already perfect?
Right.
I think that would be laughable. I'm sorry.
Right.
Say it's perfect, as it?
Well...
Just saying.
This is tricky.
Or we can reschedule. Because I've got...
What about music and video games?
Music and video
games. We know enough about that. Collectively.
Wayne's perspective. It's like The View with Lisbon Journal. Well, we can talk about that. But. What you got in video games? You got... Yeah, right. It looks at it all.
What?
What about video games?
What about music?
Music I'm confident in.
Okay.
into music. What to say about music? We're talking about hip hop.
I mean,
influences or the music videos. Why women are okay dancing in the background as bitches.
I don't even think they
talk about
that.
That's what we should be talking about today, as women's image.
I don't think they talk about that.
Just I never understood that. Even as, like, 13, my
father I don't think they tell them what exactly they're dancing to.
Just one day they're going to be a model, huh?
Yeah.
One day I'm going to be a model.
Do you want to dance in this music video? Sure. What's it about? I don't know, but it's for your portfolio. Oh. Okay.
Yes. And I know you so ex- hey.
Yeah. So,
bounce, bounce.
Did you? I'm kind of thinking that children and women, they might not be so bad considering we have a girl here.
Yeah. And we just can't do men because.
I mean, we could.
Okay.
I mean, and then that would give us more talk. That's three topics, really.
Right.
And then we can get her point of view on, like, what men should be.
Because I know
everything. Right. I mean, look at it. She's a know-it-all. I'm just kidding. What do you say? I mean, we can do the government. We can do that.
I have not a... We might end up rescheduling.
Boats?
We don't have enough people.
Right. I mean,
I don't want to reschedule because we're down here.
I'm sorry. What are you saying?
I mean, I don't want to reschedule because we're down here.
Right.
We all got down here.
No, that's exactly what I was about to say. I got no reply on Aisha. I mean, it'd be better if we at least had those two or three people. And then
right.
I could have stayed and waited for Deontay, but I didn't. So.
Right.
And then...
You abandoned Deontay?
Well, obviously, he's asleep. He works late.
Oh, so well.
He's asleep. That's the only way I know he would have missed it.
You're just telling me you're trying to clean yourself up.
I thought you meant Aisha's friend. So, what?
No.
Yeah, oh my god. Oh my god.
Pick up the phone. I don't want to talk to you.
We did cover religion. Why didn't I bold print that?
When would you be rescheduling it for?
It wouldn't be for at least 2 weeks.
Yeah.
We could at least get the video done.
Like the 7th. What do you want to do with the video?
The Kickstarter! It's got to go on Kickstarter.
Yeah, it's got to go on Kickstarter, but we don't have all our people.
Yeah, you got a point. But, I mean, we could at least have 3.
Yeah.
I mean, there's only 4. Like, yeah.
There's just so much shit to carry, though. You get the laptop bag, the camera bag.
I don't mean to be the wrong camera.
With the tripod. Two tripods.
Nevertheless, unless it's going to be children and women, children, women, and men, I just don't see this really happening.
Right.
We can get some pretty unique point of views, though, if that is happening. You want to just do a vote? Because it sounds like we're kind of going back and forth. We're not deciding anything. We'll just go around. Who wants to talk about, capitalism, government, military, like, whatever. Hands up if you want to talk about that. I'll just do it just to be that one person.
Right.
Yeah. That's what I would know more about.
Okay.
Bam, so we got to. Anybody? No? Okay.
I guess.
Because it's going to be 2-2 the other way. You want to talk about
I guess that? Since we got two, let's do it. Just because.
Military?
We're not going to get anywhere with 50.
You could do that and then some completely other random topic, and they don't really have to interlock.
Right.
I really wish I had notes on that. Oh my god, if I'd brought my notebook. I have so many notes.
Right.
1950s CIA mind control and everything. Man. Like, I wish. Let's go for it. Let's go.
So, government, let's just keep it together. I mean, we can get...
No military?
No.
So what are we focusing on?
I mean, if it
government?
Goes into it, fine, but, I mean...
All right, well...
Because we have impromptu discussions at the bookstore anyway, so, you know...
All right, I just
feel like to put the mic on.
Military and government kind of interlocked, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
What about government?
We're going to try to fuse military and government. If you have that
document again just to kind of see the extra things that go with that.
You told me to bring my laptop. Why didn't I bring
I was going to bring my tablet, but you know where.
Military, propaganda, population control, martial law, et cetera, et cetera. Forms of government, capitalism, is it good or bad? Imperialism, you know, obviously it's bad. But I mean, you know, how can you fight it? Things like that. How do you say it?
Plutocracy.
Plutocracy, yes.